11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Hey folks, it's Monday, July 20th, 2015, and you're listening to episode 24 of the Beyond the Handle podcast. I'm your host, Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip, that's Slip with five I's, or Slip. On today's show, I sit down with Tim Bonner. Tim on Twitter is at T Bonner, B-O-N-N-A-R, and we talk about the three H's, hockey, hemp, and hip hop. That's, I guess that's four H's, right? Hip hop. Anyways, lots to talk about hockey. It's been a while since we've talked about hockey on this show. I'm sure some of you are happy about that and others are unhappy, but we do some hockey talk because Tim is the managing editor over at arcticicehockey.com. So, certainly talk a lot about the site and his involvement with the site as well as, with the Winnipeg Jets. We then get into some discussion about hemp, particularly about hemp foods, which Tim is involved in as a profession, and then we talk about hip-hop at the end of the discussion. So stick around. It's a good conversation, and when you're done that conversation, Arctic Ice Hockey just launched a new podcast called AIH Superfans, and that is Winnipeg Jets talk from a number of local Twitter favorites who have all been a part of Beyond the Handle at one point in time. So listen to this interview and then go check out AIH Superfans. By the time you're listening to this, you should be able to find it on iTunes. So check that out as well. Last week's episode featured Kendra Jones at MPEL Theater, and you can go check out two of Kendra's performances, or two of her shows that she has directed over at the Winnipeg Fringe Festival, which is on this week. She directed one show called Clink, and the other one is called Seawall. Look those up at winnipegfringe.com or in the Fringe Festival program, and check them both out as well as all the shows at the Fringe Festival. It's Fringe Week in Winnipeg. Very nice weather, great shows. It's a great time, so enjoy yourselves. Anyways, with all that being said, let's get right into the interview. This is Tim Bonner talking hockey, hemp, and hip-hop here on Beyond the Handle. Hey everybody, we are episode 24 here on Beyond the Handle. Haven't talked hockey in a while, and I think I've got a great guest in to have some hockey conversation here in the middle of the summer. I have Tim Bonner on Twitter. He is at T Bonner, and he is, what's the managing editor?
Managing editor.
The overlord?
Grand overlord, grand poobah.
The grand overlord, grand poobah over at Arctic Ice Hockey as well. So thanks for joining me today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into all the fun hockey conversation, wanted to get to know you a little bit. So are you a born and raised Winnipegger?
I am a born and raised Winnipegger, yep.
Which part of town did you?
I grew up, I guess, kind of in the GC area. I went to school in the North End, St. John's.
Okay.
By choice. It was because my friends from elementary went there, so I was like, hey, I got to go with my friends. And I went there instead of GC, and I had a good experience there, actually. So,
and I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming you may have bounced around over time, but you're kind of centrally located at this point, right?
Yes. Ever since I moved away from my parents, I've kind of lived central Winnipeg, so downtown, Court, and Osborne area.
and it's a choice kind of not to be a suburbanite, is that?
Yeah. I like the central location. I like the restaurants. I like the atmosphere. I like being able to walk and do stuff. That's kind of important to me. So
cool. And central, you know, location
dwellers, I guess, tend to be identified as, like, you know...
Weirdos?
Weirdos.
Like,
and,
you?
Yeah, very weird, yeah. Weirdos and like, you know, bachelors, bachelorettes, like, you know, younger folks and so on.
Yeah.
But you're actually with a family in the central area. How do you find being with a family in kind of not the typical suburban setting?
It's great. There's lots of parks around. There's lots of schools, lots of daycares. That's extremely important. I mean, my life's basically my kid. She's the most important thing for me, above and beyond anything. So, being in a good situation for her is extremely vital, and it works for her, works for the missus, works for me. And it's good for our evenings. So
good. I have a few friends that have kind of migrated back to the suburbs after starting families, but it's nice to see the occasional person that still sticks it out kind of in the center.
Yeah.
When you were growing up, did you play a lot of organized sports?
I tended to be on the lazy side. Yeah. I would join a sports team or something and have moderate success, but then hate practicing and quit. that tended to be my study habits as well, and at different points. I mean, I was always good in school, but I tended to have great marks in the first semester, and then, this is way too easy. Yeah. I better stop trying. I mean, that was a long time ago, and I'm different a little bit now, I hope.
So, can you name some of the sports that you've quit over the years?
Let's see. Pretty much all of them, but football was the one I preferred playing the most. I was always into football. I even started playing pickup football again recently. I played for about a year. In just like a, I guess a men's touch league. But I ended up blowing up my knee playing frisbee, which kind of sucked. And now I can't do anything other than sit on the couch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
when you were playing football, what position were you mostly?
Receiver and defensive back, but okay. I've never really liked playing defense. I'm gentle. I don't like to hit people. And the idea of smashing people when I was playing defense wasn't that appealing to me. So I was like, yeah, I'd rather play receiver. And then I was like, yeah, I'd rather just not practice. So I started working and not practicing.
Did you play organized hockey?
No, never really played organized hockey. It wasn't a thing that was big for me. I've always been a hockey fan, always liked watching hockey, but never really into playing the game that much.
Okay.
I'm not great at skating.
Neither am I. And yet, you know, despite that, of course, you've eventually made your way over to Arctic Ice Hockey as the managing editor. But I guess, do you want to talk a little bit about your evolution with SB Nation?
Sure.
And how it started and so on?
I guess SB Nation is a very big site. It's got way more than just the Jets content that you may see, I guess, living in the Winnipeg market. But there's a site for pretty much every NFL team, NBA team, most college football teams. There's NHL, and there's all sorts of different leagues. I guess my first experience with SB Nation was I'm a big fan of MMA. So I used to frequent a site called Bloody Elbow, which still has top-notch MMA coverage. And they tend to be my go-to anytime something happens and I want to figure out, yo, what happened? Why is this fight canceled? What's going on here? But that was my first experience with it. And then the Jets came back and Arctic Ice Hockey, which was a stats blog, became a Jets blog. And I just started following that, talking a little bit in the comments section. And I think that's one of the best parts about SBN is the fact that it's got a very powerful comment section. People can react real time to events, and anybody who wants to can write a post or a fan post about hockey, about football, about whatever sport it is, but anyone has the opportunity to share their voice. And in general, the authors are not trying to feel superior or different than everybody. They're just trying to share a perspective on sports and give everyone a chance to talk about sports. So
did you start as a fan poster, or did you
My first two posts were fan posts, and it tends to work that way more often than not. I mean, since I've taken over as a manager, I've hired a bunch of people, some who were writing blogs elsewhere, but writing a fan post or two, I mean, if you're, or you, it depends on the site. I mean, some sites have extreme volumes where they don't need to hire people, where they've got 30 or 40 people on staff that contribute regularly. But I was just writing a couple fan posts laced with heavy sarcasm, and then bam, they were like, hey, do you want to actually write for us and take on more responsibility for less pay?
What?
Or the same no pay. But yeah, well, yeah, I was eager. I mean, I like talking hockey, and I like creating fodder for Jets folk. So,
what can you recall any of your more notable posts that got attention, be it positive or negative?
You mean it before I was on, or during?
During like some of your own posts.
Yeah, one of the ones that got me on was just sarcastic comments related to media narratives. So the media. I say media, that blanket statement, but it's not at all. But some people were commenting on the radio, I guess, about, I'm going to say, I think it was the Eric Staal game where they were saying Jordan's better and that the chance somehow spurred him on to score more goals.
Okay.
And, somebody was talking about the negative impact of those chants. So I was just being a sarcastic jerk and went through and broke down all the stats from every elite player that had played in Winnipeg that year and like showed kind of what they did relative to their norm to show that no elite player was performing better or worse in Winnipeg. That was kind of the first thing that inspired me to write. Okay. It was just hearing some things that on the radio or reading them in the paper that were like, this doesn't make any sense.
Or if you're going to have a statement, like, let's look at the facts, right?
Yeah, let's look at the facts. So that's kind of how I got my start. And then from there, I don't know, I had too much spare time and wrote a lot of stuff. And then eventually everyone quit. Not everyone, but managers quit, and I took over. And now the fans are stuck with me. So,
do you still post at all? Or?
I do. Not as frequently as I have. I switched jobs recently, so I have a little bit less time. And in general, I mean, when there's a game happening, it's really easy for me to put together content. But when I've got lots because I watch the games, and I'm. I dedicate time to that, but when I don't have as much spare time, it's harder to write for fun when you don't have as much spare time or leisure time in general. And I mean, there's some things I certainly still do and plan to do, and I plan to increase more, and I'm doing some stuff internally for our top 25 under 25, which is a very popular series we run every year. So right now we're compiling some rankings, and we've got all our votes internally, and we'll start rolling that out soon. But
what is the top 25 of?
It's a top 25 Winnipeg Jets players under the age of 25.
Okay.
So top 25 under 25.
So the kids that are going to lead us to the 2019 Stanley Cup?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, under 25 is generally subprime until you get up to like actually like 25 and 26 are on average the prime years of a player. So it's generally players that are approaching their prime and in many cases aren't in the NHL that you would think will have a big impact in the future kind of thing.
So what does the job as kind of managing editor entail?
That's kind of the thing that was crazy for me is I liked writing about hockey, but now I have to edit a lot more and make sure things are going out properly and according to schedule and send out emails to people like, hey, you're not doing this exactly the way that we're supposed to do this. And some of that's stuff for me, but also the overlords of me at SB Nation want things done a certain way because search engine optimization is important. And I mean, I work in internet stuff, so I understand that, but at the same time, you've got a whole bunch of people that aren't being paid to do anything writing for fun, and then I feel weird giving them direction.
There will be some people out there that would say that the mandate carried by Arctic Ice Hockey is basically to be negative about the Jets. What would you say to people that make that kind of commentary?
It's pretty simple, actually. There's no mandate. We've tried to tried to get a very diverse group of people. And the thing that amuses the hell out of me is that some of the people that go out there and say, the mandate is this, the mandate is that, they know people that write for us and get all of our emails. And a couple of them have even been offered a position to write for Arctic Ice Hockey. Because I've said, if you disagree with us, please write it down. If you write a fan post dissecting anything and you publish it, we're more than happy to put counterpoints to anything we say. We want a diverse array of opinions. It's just supposed to be content and fodder for everybody. We want everybody that exists in the world. Well, not in the world. I don't really care about Maple Leafs fans. But we want all of the Jets Nation have, or if you would, to feel free to talk about hockey. And we want it to be a comfortable, safe place where everyone has an opinion. We're not trying to control anything or dictate anything. It's just, it's funny that people turn it into some sort of weird agenda, like we're out to gain something when it's just a few people writing about hockey for fun.
I've seen some other SB Nation sites. I know one in particular that I've read from the Southern California teams there. SoCal Nation, is that what it's called? Or
Battle of Cali.
Battle of Cali, that's what it is.
They're funny.
They are funny. I enjoy their articles, but clearly in a lot of them, they're trolling other teams, right?
Yes, that's a weird SB Nation site. I mean, Anaheim Ducks have their own site called Anaheim Calling. I think it's the Royal Half for the Kings, and I don't pay any attention to the Sharks, so I can't remember what. No, they have a site too, and I'm joking, but I can't remember what it's called right now. But they all have their own fan sites. They've created an extra site, so there's an extra SB Nation hockey site, and part of it is actually authors from those sites, but part of it is not. But the entire site's premise is just to troll each other, and it's extremely popular, and it's a lot of fun, but lots of people don't really realize what they're doing. So troll post is definitely something that's there. And it's not something SBN shies from, because it's just for fun. And even when, if you don't take sports too seriously, which I think some people do, it's not something to get worked up about. It usually, even if it's somebody making fun of the Jets in a way that I don't agree with, I usually laugh. I think somebody told us recently that our analysis wasn't to be taken seriously. It's for entertainment purposes only. And I responded from the Arctic Ice Hockey account, sports are for entertainment purposes only. I mean, that's why they exist. And I understand lots of people make money with it and lots of people get emotionally tied to it, but it's entertainment and that's what it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. So it's not something anyone should get mad about or yelling about or get emotionally invested in, yell at other people about. Like, that part of sports I've never really understood. I definitely get emotionally invested in a game while I'm watching it, or in a team and root for a team. But getting mad at other people or getting divisive against other groups of people, it just doesn't really make a ton of sense to me.
So where I was also going at with this one site, and there may be others along the SB Nation family, is
some of them will have trolling writers on normal sites.
Yeah, I've had some, you know, like, people have kind of questioned then, you know, is SB Nation's mandate to be taken seriously as a serious sports blog, or is it like a lighter sports blog, but still, like, you know, for example, in the States, right, they have a little bit of press access, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think every non-Canadian SB Nation site, hockey-wise, has, maybe not every, couple that don't. Most of them have press box access.
Okay.
And I mean, every site's going to have a mix of them, too. It's not like... It's funny when people paint things with blanket statements. I mean, Arctic Ice Hockey, I think, now has over 20 writers, yourself included.
Yeah. Check out... Wait, yeah. See my posts, everybody.
Even on the... You're listed on the masthead, but, I mean, everybody... Get, like, lots of people get tied to a couple of writers that they've had extreme opinions against. And, I mean, that's fine. Our groups are going to have bigger voices, but the site's probably got about 20 writers now that have published content. And since the Jets have come back, there's probably been at least 30, 10 of whom aren't there anymore. I'm thinking at least 10. TJ, Derek... Garrett would be three of the big ones. Benjamin and Gabe were the two pioneers. And there's been a bunch of other people that have come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so funny to me when people paint blanket statements about Arctic Ice Hockey's this, Arctic Ice Hockey's that. Arctic Ice Hockey is just a group of people that like to write about hockey. and most of them like to make jokes, which is kind of something that a lot of people don't grasp either. There's a lot of sarcasm and, yeah.
Are you a proud member of the Church of Corsi?
I'm an atheist, but I am a big fan of Corsi and hockey. I did notice that you have someone in your building named Fenwick.
I noticed that too, actually. To be honest, when I was scrolling, I think I took a picture of it and put it on Twitter a few years ago.
I didn't notice it there. I just noticed it now when I was coming in.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh no, what am I doing? Where are we going? This is a booby trap. I don't know what's going on here. But, yeah, I definitely believe in the merits of Corsi. It's not really that, hard to, if you read anything about it or, read the research behind it. It's been proven to be a better predictor of future success than pretty much any other statistic we have. And some people like to say, because you use Corsi, that you are worshiping the Church of Corsi, or,
you don't watch the games.
You don't watch the game.
The intangibles of grit and heart and whatever.
It's not at all that. It's anything in life, if you can see facts related to what your brain sees, sometimes taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture is important. And I like to use that in conjunction with other things I see. I mean, you can see a nice Corsi number from 7 or 8 different players, but how they got there is usually completely different.
And just before we keep going on the discussion, do you want to just define Corsi for those out there that don't know what it is?
Corsi just basically describes how awesome a hockey player is. That's a joke. But basically it's the shots for versus shots against while the player is on the ice. If a player is on the ice and the team outshoots the opposition, his team's more likely to score. That's basically the premise. It's not at all complicated. It's not something that people would be like, yeah, I don't buy that based on the premise for the most part. Where it tends to come into conflict with people is when they see a player that they think is good has bad Corsi, or a player they think is bad has good Corsi. And it does happen, but there's lots of different reasons for that, because you can have... And it's funny to me, too, because the same debate about the same player would happen whether or not there's Corsi. I guess an example might be, Toby Enstrom. He's one of the Jets, players that has had better Corsi over the years. Dipped a little bit last year, but it was still, towards the top end of the team defensively anyway. But basically the premise is, if you can keep the puck in the other team's zone and out of your zone, you're going to win more games. And when certain players are on the ice and that's happening, your team's more likely to win. There may be lots of scenarios where a player like Toby Enstrom gets smashed or gets knocked out of the way when he's in front of the net and a goal is scored against. And yeah, that's going to happen when you've got a player his size, his build. But what a lot of people have a harder time grasping when they're watching games and noting major events is the fact that maybe he's in the offensive zone 60% of the game. And while Stewart won't get knocked out of the net, he's in front of the offense, or he's in front of his own goalie 60% of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different factors that go into a lot of different things. And whether there's Corsi or not, everyone's going to have different styles of players that they like. But the idea that some people get mad and like, you don't watch the game just because you also have a stat to back your theory doesn't make a ton of sense to me. It's like, my theory is that, let's try and think of something juicy here. My theory is that I'm okay walking in front of cars and getting hit. I mean, that's a horrible theory, but, stats will show you this is a bad idea. That's a horrible theory. I'm sucking right now. You talk smarter than me.
I come from a research background, so I'll try to describe this a little bit more, because people, I'm sure, are just thrilled to talk about Corsi in depth.
That means he wears thicker glasses than me.
So the idea is that when it comes to an event like a goal takes place so infrequently over the course of hockey, right? Especially these days, a good team might score 240 goals a season.
Three a game.
So three times a game they're going to score. And whereas shot attempts will take place per team, 60, 70 times a game?
Per team? Attempts, yeah, about there. Little less then.
So you're taking an event that happens a lot more frequently.
Yeah.
That is an indicator of basically pushing offense and keeping a team out of your zone. So then the next piece is that if you take it in small slices, and we're talking about sample slices here, you'll tell a story, but with any sample, the larger the sample, the better your story should be. So if you look at Corsi of an individual game, say the Jets play, you know, their opening game and they win the Corsi battle but lose the game 4-2.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that Corsi is wrong. Corsi is, it's correlated with, but it's not, you know, I guess causation of
yeah, wins. I mean, a lot of the time you will watch, even after the after the game, people that are anti-Corsi or whatever would watch that game and be like, the Jets controlled that entire game. This team just got a couple lucky bounces. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's crazy about hockey is there's the difference in a goal a game is usually about one. I mean, the average score is about 3-2. So you're looking at a one goal differential on average. And anyone who watches any volume of hockey will see pucks that bounce off of people that didn't know the puck was coming. Anyone who's ever seen Johnny Oduya shoot should know that he's never scored a goal that didn't bounce off somebody other player on the way in. I mean, and that's just amazing to me too, is how I've seen Johnny Oduya will shoot the puck 10 feet wide of the net and sometimes it'll bounce off a player and in. And he'll be like 10 feet away from the net and shooting 10 feet wide. I don't understand what he's doing, but it happens a lot. And I mean, some games, everyone who's watching is like, that's a fluky goal. That was a lucky bounce. And the difference between Corsi and goals scored, because on average, most teams score on the same amount of shots and save a pretty similar amount of shots, depending on their goalies. the biggest difference tends to be the amount of shots on goal for and against.
And again, you know, I mentioned a small sample size, but what happens is that now you broaden your sample size over the course of an 82-game season, and that's going to tell a story. And then there's very high correlation between top Corsi teams and teams who you see making long Stanley Cup drives and winning.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know the exact numbers. I see them at the end of, you know, most seasons, but typically the Stanley Cup finalists are top 10 Corsi teams.
Yeah, generally. I mean, 7-game series is crazy in NHL too. Lots can happen over a 4-game series, and I've heard lots of people say, I think it's a pretty common phrase, they shouldn't call it hockey, they should call it goalie in the playoffs, because a goalie can literally win a series.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have just an unreal performance where a third-line player goes out there and scores three goals.
Like Chris Kontos, or what was, there's another one for Washington in the late or early 90s. I'm sure TJ would know, but
or Brian Bickle more recently, yeah, who is now a buyout candidate despite having a massive playoff run. But you'll see these players who go on unprecedented tears over a very short period of time. And what a lot of people fail to realize is that this is actually pretty common if you break down the season. Even someone like Alex Ovechkin, who routinely scores 30 or 40 goals, if you break down his goals or games into random 20-game samples, they're going to be wildly disparate. He doesn't always score 10 goals every 20. He will have some where he scores 2, and there are 3, and then he'll have some where he scores 15. It's just the way hockey works, and I know I've heard some analysts say that sometimes players just will the puck into the net, but it doesn't work that way. I mean, everyone has highs and lows, and Paul Maurice talks about it a lot, actually, and I love his interviews for that reason, is he acknowledges that sometimes players are doing all the right things and the pucks just aren't going in. It's just an element of hockey, and I mean, anyone who's played any sport should realize that. Like, I'm doing the same things I always do. Sometimes it just doesn't work. And then comes the emotional human side of it, is grabbing your sticks too tight, which, yeah. I mean, when you are doing something right for a long period of time and it's just not working for you, you are going to have side effects.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, some players will deal with those thought processes better than others, and the ones that dwell on them and make them into something bigger aren't necessarily going to be the players that get out of them. While players like Alex Ovechkin, who consistently scores, are going to just keep trucking along and eventually know it's going to go in.
All right, let's take a little break from the interview to go through some housekeeping items and give you some information about this show. If you want to find us on Twitter, you can look us up at Beyond the Handle is the handle for the show. So definitely give us a follow there. We are on Facebook. Do a search for Beyond the Handle and we will pop right up there for you. If you are not listening to this show via iTunes or Stitcher, you can go to each of those platforms and subscribe to the show. Again, just go in and search for Beyond the Handle. We will pop up there for you. Click on subscribe and the new episodes will download to your device every week as soon as they're posted, which is nice, easy, and convenient. Of course, if you just want to hear a stream of a specific episode, you can also go to beyondthehandle.podomatic.com and you can find the show right there and listen to any episode that you would like to hear. If you'd like to email me and give me some feedback, recommend a guest, or if you'd like to be a guest yourself, I'd love to hear from you. The email address is beyondthehandle@gmail.com. And again, any feedback via Twitter or via email is very much appreciated. We are a part of the Garbage Hill Network of podcasts. This is Winnipeg's first podcast network and features a number of local podcasts from around the city of Winnipeg. You can give them a follow at Garbage Hill on Twitter, and their website is www.garbagehillnetwork.com.
So with all that being said, let's get right back into the interview. This is Tim Bonner. On Twitter, you can find him at T-B-O-N-N-A-R here on Beyond the Handle.
Something I like to ask whenever I have folks from Arctic Ice Hockey on this show.
You've had others?
I've had others. Oh, yeah.
Horrible people.
I know. I mean, it was terrible. Ryan.
Ryan,
awful,
yeah.
Guy.
Awful,
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, DJ, Travis. Oof.
Oof.
What, tell me 3 things that you think are very, very positive about the Winnipeg Jets that you really like.
Okay. Because I tend to be a big fan of prospects, I'm going to say the prospect pool right now is just incredible. Two of the last three drafts after the draft, I was just like overjoyed. I mean, even last year, I'm a huge fan of Nick Ehlers. I was a big fan of Nick Ehlers leading into the draft, and I wasn't sure he was going to be available. I thought he could have gone as high as third overall, legitimately. And he came down to where the Jets were, and they took him, and I was super excited. My friends all thought I was an idiot. I was like, oh my gosh, this is super exciting. And as much as he's awesome, the rest of that draft had a couple good players in it, but I don't know that it's going to be as big of an impact. But the draft before it, 2013, the Jets got a number of players that could be real impact NHLers, or at least real NHLers. Nick Petan and Josh Morrissey both look like they can make a difference. And then players like Andrew Kopp, deeper. Awesome. This year, the Jets' first two picks look like real impact players. And I did a mock draft with the group of Arctic Ice Hockey, leading up. And we ended up choosing Jensen Harkins, the second round pick, as the pick at 25th overall. I'm a big fan of that kid. One of the things that was really interesting to me is if you read any scouting report on him pre-draft, a lot of the scouting reports were saying this kid has everything it takes to be an NHLer if only he scored more. And that tended to be the theme.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that amused the heck out of me is he scored damn near at the same rate as Scheifele did going into his draft. He actually scored quite a bit. He didn't score many goals. He was a supreme setup man on a horrible team.
That was Scheifele, too, on a better team, but yeah. He was a setup guy, right?
He was, but Scheifele figured out how to score. He became a sniper a little later, the next year, basically. He became somebody who could score more, and I think now he's kind of reverted back to passing first, but... Harkins is a supreme, he makes some beautiful passes. He's a big kid, strong, smart, two-way center. He can really pass the puck. And he's one of those kids that you know is 100% dedicated to constantly being better. And that's one of the things that I think is awesome about Scheifele, even though he may have detractors, is he's already a damn good player, but he talks about wanting to be in the same conversation as Steven Stamkos and Sidney Crosby. And then in the year between when he was drafted and when he went back to hockey, he worked all summer. And they showed videos of it, I think, at different points on TSN and other channels. But he worked pretty much every day working on his shot, trying to make his shot better because he thought that was a weakness in his game. And he came back to have just a blistering release of a snapshot. And when you can find a player who's got that, the intangibles of working hard to get better and some real good smarts and skills, then I think you've got the recipe for a player that will have success.
So prospects?
Prospects, yeah, prospects. Sorry, I went on a ramble.
That's all good.
I'm a big fan of prospects.
You can make Scheifele number two if you want. Your list of three.
Top three things. I'm going to say Paul Maurice right now because I'm a big fan of him. He's just really good to listen to in an interview. I love his interviews. As much as Noel got a lot of credit for being funny and stuff, Paul Maurice tells a lot more of a story, and he tells it in a really eloquent way, and some of the things he goes into when asked questions, silly or otherwise, are just great. I remember an interview recently where Gary Lawless talked, or not recently, it was probably early last year, where Gary Lawless asked him about, should Blake Wheeler play center? I thought that was a weird question in general, but the way he broke it down was very detailed. He talked about how, I've never really thought about it because Blake Wheeler is a great winger. But then he also talked about some of the finer details about how when a center takes a puck to his stick or gets a puck that's to his skates, he has to be able to get it onto a stick and move it up the ice very fast. And he wasn't sure that that was 100% Blake Wheeler's skill set. Blake Wheeler excelled more with the puck on his stick, whereas somebody like Little or Shifley can make more out of a puck in a tight space that was supposed to hit them in the stick, but hit them in the skates, quickly react and get it out. But he gives some really eloquent answers, and actually some answers that are really smart. Okay. or he actually tells a story as opposed to deflecting. Number three. I don't know. I just like having hockey back here in Winnipeg. There's lots of things I like about the team. There's lots of players I like. But in general, it's nice to have a major league pro team back.
One more thing on the Arctic ice hockey front, yeah. And this is kind of a cheap plug at this point, is that you'd mentioned earlier no Leaf fans, but you did have a Leaf fan that was kind of did something pretty prominent for the site, which was a podcast.
Yes.
Travis, who is a Leaf fan, shame on him.
Yeah.
That podcast is now done, unfortunately. It's a fantastic podcast.
A fantastic podcast, and it had to retire.
But it sounds like there's going to be a rebirth of sorts.
Yeah.
In the very near future, maybe by the time you hear this show.
Yeah. We're going to have a new podcast. We've got a talented team of people that are going to be sitting in this very room and recording some podcasts over the next little while. You're not going to like them. They're going to be terrible. And basically, you're going to mourn the loss of Travis, but it'll still be a lot of fun.
Bad people saying dumb things.
Yeah, it's going to be bad people saying dumb things.
That should have been the title. We've been debating the title for like 2 weeks now. That should be it.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think they'll swear as much as Travis, but they'll be, okay.
So there'll be people who, if you go back and listen to episodes of this show, they've all been on this show. We've got
perfect.
We've got Big Pappy Peg City, Sad Sack Jets fan, and RB_18, and you'll be joining us as well for some content.
Yeah,
when you're just like, we need to put some intelligence into the show. We'll do that. But, I'll do my best to kind of rudder the ship as best as I can. Keep Arby from being too negative and, try to avoid too many fart jokes from the rest of us.
Yeah.
We'll see how we do. But anyways, keep your eyes, peeled for that one. It'll be all over Twitter in the near future as well.
Yes. And I'm very excited about the opportunity to have continued content from very entertaining people. It'll be interesting. And this will be a fun one, too, because everybody that's on the podcast will be Jet fans. They won't be, like, basketball people or Maple Leafs people or people that just mildly follow the Jets. These are all people that have watched the Jets since they were kids.
For a Jets podcast, and I love Jetstream, but for a Jets podcast, you heard the name Phil Kessel a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of quite a bit of Leafs, and quite a bit of comparison to basketball, yeah.
And there's a lot of times where Travis is like, "Do you know this about hockey?" to the other people on the podcast. That's right.
Yeah, you know what though? But all jokes aside, I truly hope those guys end up starting something else.
Yes,
If they were, I'm not a basketball fan, but if they did a basketball podcast, I'd listen every week. I enjoyed their show a lot.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. You gave me three H's to talk about, and we've spent 40 minutes almost talking about the first one, which is hockey. So let's get to two of the other ones. The next one is hemp.
Yes.
And we're not talking like hemp as in when you open my door, you're smoking a big joint.
No. So we're talking about food product.
So what is your work with hemp, and how did this happen?
I guess just randomly happened upon the opportunity of a company that was hiring, selling hemp foods. So hemp seeds, hemp oil, hemp protein powder. That's pretty much the gist of what I do. I do marketing for them. So I do trade shows and help with web content, helping to build a website and stuff like that. But, hemp foods are really good for you. I didn't know. Now I know.
So if I'm looking to, like, what are the reasons why I should add hemp foods to my diet?
Just general health, I think is, there's lots of good things about it. I mean, it's really a food that's for anyone of any lifestyle. Now I feel like I'm working, but
making it work.
It's a food for anybody's lifestyle. The products are naturally not genetically modified, right from the crop, when it's planted to when you get it in stores. You're looking at a raw product that grows very easily without needs of pesticides or herbicides. Great for the environment, takes very little water, very rugged crop. It grows naturally very, very well. Just free seeds will grow like crazy. And then when you get the actual product, you're looking at, if you're looking at the whole hemp seed with the shell still on it, you're looking at a product for every 30 grams that you get, you're going to have 9 grams of fiber, 8 grams of protein, and 8 grams of omegas 3 and 6, which is
just... What do those omegas do for me? I kind of know what the other two do, but what do omegas 3 and 6 do for me?
Well, omegas 3 and 6, omega 3 is the big one that everyone hears about, and the big thing for most people is most North American diets get about, I think they get about, like, I'm just going to pull numbers out of my butt. No, I'm not going to. They get way too few omega 3s, and they get way too many omega 6s.
Okay.
Omegas are a fat. They're a fatty acid. Omega 3 is really, really good for you. Omega 6 is good for you too in certain proportions. When you add a whole bunch of bad fats to your diet, then you're adding, well, saturated fats that stay as fats and, or trans fats that are just not good for your body. When you're looking at omegas, there are certain cases where you can go over, your recommended daily intake, but they're good for your joints and good for your heart in general is the benefit of omega-3s. Another big thing is that while it's an oily seed, it's also loaded with protein. So a 30-gram serving of the whole seed will have 9 grams of fiber, 8 grams of protein, and 8 grams of omegas. It's pretty much a complete food on its own, and it's really just an ingredient that you can add to anything. Then they have the biggest selling product in hemp is a hulled seed, which is the same seed with the shell off, basically no fiber. Most people put it in smoothies or put it on their oatmeal, but you'll get 10 grams of protein and 12 grams of omegas in a serving, and it's just great for your body.
Can you just eat a bag of hemp seeds?
It depends on the size of the bag.
You know, like, is it the same as, like, sunflower seeds or anything like that in terms of eating? Like, you can just have the seeds?
If you're eating the whole seeds, and the company I work for is called Just Hemp Foods, we sell them toasted with a little bit of salt. You'd eat those just like a sunflower seed or pumpkin seed, probably more like a pumpkin seed because you're not shelling them.
Yeah.
You're just going to eat them as is. And you're honestly eating a guilt-free snack where you're loading up on protein, omegas, and fiber, which are three things your body needs. The hulled seeds taste like a sunflower seed without the shell, but you're looking at a product that can go into anything. People put it in salads, into smoothies, on top of yogurt. My daughter's she eats it by the spoonful, but she likes to put it on her yogurt or mix it into her peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She'll just put some hemp in the middle. And it's just to add protein and omegas to, well, whatever she's eating. So,
is there any specialty, like, baking item that would benefit from hemp seeds being added to it?
Everything.
and good job, by the way. Everything. Good job selling it.
I mean, it's a product that... I feel so much like I'm selling stuff right now. It's a product that can actually go into everything. Pancakes, waffles... really anything. You can put it into muffins, and we have a recipe on one of our packages. I feel like I'm doing sales again. That actually is for muffins, and you put hemp seeds in the muffins, and you can turn it into a muffin that has 5 grams of protein in it. And again, you're loading up with omegas, so it's a product that since I learned more about it, I'm including into as many meals as I can, and I'm giving it to my daughter as much as I can and recommending it to family members, and my sister-in-law is pregnant, so like, here, you need to eat some hemp seeds because this is going to be good for you and your baby.
Do we? Can we get hemp seeds directly from your company here in Winnipeg?
Soon. Okay. It's a retail brand that is very, very new. Launched in the U.S. Because there was a PO waiting. So launched there, and then U.S. packaging is actually really easy because you don't need translators, and there's different rules that are a little more easy to deal with. But our Canadian packaging will actually be done probably here within the month.
Okay.
And then we're going to start putting it everywhere.
So once that's out, you know, I'm sure we'll hear about it, but in the meantime, where do people go to find hemp seeds in Winnipeg?
Our hemp seeds can be found on Amazon.com, just hemp foods. But there's a lot of other companies selling quality hemp products. I mean, one of the biggest in the world is, or the biggest, I think, retail company is Manitoba Harvest.
Okay.
They're based locally, here. Good product too, but we think ours is better.
Mm-hmm.
So buy that when it comes out.
All right, let's get, I'll make you stop working. We'll get to the third H here. Hip hop.
Yeah.
I shouldn't stereotype, but in when
I get that a lot. Yeah, I get that a lot.
Hip hop. Uh huh. So, okay. What got you into hip hop?
I don't know. I've always been kind of a fan.
Did you have a moment where it was like, this is what I want? Like a certain.
No, I don't remember back that far. I just always kind of remember liking the melodies and stuff, but. My history with hip hop wasn't from my parents, but as soon as I could independently choose what I wanted to listen to, that's kind of when it started. And I've been a big fan for a long time. I listened to lots of music dating back to the late 80s. I was born in 84, and some of my favorite music has come out in 88 and stuff like that. That's when hip hop started to really boom. Eric B. and Rakim, Slick Rick, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Love lots of stuff all the way from then to now. Even now, where lots of people talk about music being watered down, there's always an underground that's got interesting stuff, and I go to lots of hip-hop shows, and yeah.
I'm not a big hip-hop guy at all. I have a cousin who is.
Yeah.
And he's into nothing mainstream with hip-hop either, and I'll, when I'm the last year, I've hung out with him a few times where he's driving and listening to it. I'm like, this is some good shit. Like, you know, where can you find this? You know, and really, I shouldn't be so naive because I'm the same when it comes to rock music. Yeah. Like, I search outside of the mainstream for it, and it's the same thing, right? Like, you just have to make an effort to find it.
Yeah,
as opposed to having it pumped in your ears through commercial radio, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I honestly. The last time I listened to music radio might be never. I mean, I've listened to it here and there where I was, say, in a company truck and they didn't have a CD player.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the last time, I can't remember the last time I listened to much as far as radio goes. And I do listen to 1290 because I like sports radio fodder. And it's kind of up my alley because I generate a lot of that type of stuff or react to it for Arctic Ice Hockey.
Yeah.
But there's never really been hip-hop radio in Winnipeg anyway, and the stuff that's on the radio, odd artists that's on there, I'll still have it pay attention to or whatever. But if I find someone, it tends to be because I've just randomly found their stuff elsewhere and then, yeah, become a fan.
If you were to recommend, again, three acts, like, right now that you think people should be listening to, especially if they're hip-hop fans, who would you recommend?
See, that's a really tough question for me because there's so many different styles and subsets and things like that. And if I know more about the person I'm recommending to, then I could tend to recommend better music. But my favorite acts, maybe of all time, I don't know, maybe all time, yeah. I'm a huge fan of a group called Atmosphere. They're out of Minneapolis. Just a guy and a DJ. Big fan of them. They've been doing excellent work for a long time now. Very different some people labeled them as emo rap for a little while.
Okay.
Because they were in a lot of storytelling, a lot of things that are just not what you expect to hear. There's another dude named Tech Nine who has been on the indie scene for a long time, and I've been a big fan for a long time, but he actually was ranked in the Forbes ranked him as one of the top 10 grossing rappers in the world recently. And while he's completely independent, he's a rapper that is very much about how he presents things. And he does have some songs that are more thought provoking, but his style tends to be fast, and playing with syllables and cramming a whole bunch of syllables into a bunch of different sentences at different times and making things sound very interesting. Those are probably my two big recommendations. Okay. I mean, I've got lots of different artists I listen to, but
those are my two
indie favorites, I guess, that I've been listening to for the longest. And then like artists that I've grown up listening to and am still a big fan of would be like Nas that everyone knows. I've always been a fan of his, but there's lots of different good ones.
Are you going to see Straight Outta Compton?
Yes. Very excited.
That's of all the movies coming out this summer, that's the one that I want to see the most too. And I'm not a big hip hop fan, but oh yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny, cause I mean, I've listened to some Ice Cube and Dre over the years, but, I'm not even that big of a fan of NWA, but I just think it'll be an interesting movie.
Have you seen the documentary, the ESPN Straight Out of L.A. documentary?
No, I haven't.
You might like that. You know, are you familiar with 30 for 30, the ESPN?
Yes, yeah.
So one of them, and again, for people out there, this is a documentary series produced by ESPN. I guess at their 30th anniversary, they brought in 30 different directors to put together basically hour-long, sometimes a little more, stories on sports. Oops. And the one of them was about the rise of hip-hop in Los Angeles and really like gangster rap. Mm-hmm. And it centered around both NWA and the Los Angeles Raiders.
Yeah.
So it talks a lot about the Raiders football team and the culture around the team and then those Raiders colors that became synonymous with gangster rap. And you saw kids walking around here with like Raiders gear back in like the early 90s who were little gangsters. I had friends that that were little gangsters. I had a San Jose Sharks jacket, so I wasn't exactly gangster. I just liked the little shark logo. But anyways, that's my recommendation. If you want to see a sports hip hop mix, it's a pretty good presentation.
Yeah.
All right, so those are the three H's. Any other H's you want to talk about before we...
Let's talk about heroin for a little bit.
Heroin? Sure, sure.
I'm a big fan of female heroes.
All right.
Ronda Rousey's awesome. That's pretty much my closing thoughts.
Did you see what she said?
Yeah, it's amazing. Ronda Rousey's awesome.
That was odd. Do you want to tell her? Was that today?
That was today, I'm pretty sure. That was red carpet for the ESPYs. And Ronda Rousey, or as they affectionately know her, Honda Housey.
Uh-huh.
It's because Brazilian people pronounce an R like an H. Uh-huh. And people in MMA circles tend to do that with pretty much any name that starts with an R. Mm-hmm. But Ronda Rousey is awesome. She has actually had a few words back and forth with Mayweather for a while now. And I guess she beat Mayweather for some sort of award. She had a trophy in her hand. She received it pre-show, and she said, I wonder what Mayweather feels, or how Mayweather feels getting beat by a woman for a change.
Oh.
In response to some of his domestic allegations, and yeah, she's awesome.
She is awesome. Did you see the UFC show this past weekend?
Yes.
I've heard, I follow...
I watched the main event. I missed most of it, but I watched the main event, and I do plan to catch up on the rest of it, but yeah, it was a wild one.
I follow pro wrestling religiously. I don't watch everything, but I listen to a lot of reviews. And they tie into MMA. Like, they do pro wrestling and MMA. And through listening to that, I became a fan of MMA. Not nearly to the level I think that you are, but enough. And haven't watched...
I see some USC DVDs.
Yeah. And haven't actually watched a lot of the shows in the last couple of years, but keep keep
the Brock Lesnar era.
Yeah. But I also kind of, you know, hear about what's been happening recently, and I heard that the show this past weekend was just a hell of a show.
Mm-hmm.
So I will, yeah, I'll be digging that one up and checking out when they release it, because
yeah.
All right, I guess then we'll wrap it up here. So Tim Bonner has joined me today at T Bonner. I usually ask people as a first question, what is the story behind your Twitter handle? But I think that's pretty obvious in this case.
Yeah, it's my name.
managing editor at Arctic Ice Hockey. Go over to arcticicehockey.com. Check them out.
At Arctic Ice Hockey.
At Arctic Ice Hockey on Twitter. At T Bonner. Keep your eyes peeled for a word on the new Arctic Ice Hockey podcast.
Yeah,
great content there. And if you want to say something to them and you want to post something, you know, make it smart. But Tim's your guy to be in contact with.
Yeah, and there's always the fan post section. I mean, it's anyone who can go there, arcticicehockey.com/fanposts. As long as you're registered with the site, anyone who wants to can make an opinion or form an opinion and write it down. Even if it's contrary to what we're saying, if it's well-written and well-articulated, we'll post it right on the main page. We have no problem with that. We're not trying to dictate anything. We just want to give people a voice to share their opinions.
Perfect. So thanks, Tim, for joining me today.
Thank you.
So there you have it. That was Tim Bonner on Twitter, at T-B-O-N-N-A-R. Again, we talked hockey, we talked hemp, we talked hip-hop. Go find him on Twitter or head over to arcticicehockey.com. Again, he is the managing editor over at the website. He runs the show. He's the overlord. So check out that site. It is fantastic for all of your Winnipeg Jets news and information. And it features writing from a lot of people who have been featured on this show. And it features a brand new podcast called the AIH Superfans, which involves a number of people that have also been on Beyond the Handle before. So lots of content to check out for you hockey fans out there. And thank you very much to Tim for joining me for this week's episode. The band featured this week is a band called Drunk Mums. And they are from Australia. They're from Melbourne, Australia. And the track that you've been hearing is called Dying to Please You. Again, you can find them over at Bandcamp. Drunk Mums, DRUNKMUMS .bandcamp.com is where you can find all of their music, and it's all a hell of a lot of fun. So go and give them a listen. Thank you, everybody, for once again listening to Beyond the Handle this week, and we'll see you all in a week.